Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we've got one more declaree to talk about, and we've got to talk about a couple teams that could be looking forward to making a draft selection, perhaps with a player like this in mind. But Mark Walton from Miami has decided to declare for the NFL Draft after being injured early in the season. But I remembered, Trevor, you were a pretty big fan of Mark Walton. You liked what he offered on tape, and now he is headed into the NFL with a pretty fantastic running back class, more than likely.
Yeah, I actually like Lamar Miller a lot, and I don't think that he is just a speed back.
Are you saying Lamar Miller?
Oh, did I say Lamar Miller?
You said Lamar Miller. Remember how we argued about Lamar Miller the other day?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was literally just thinking as you were saying, I was like, who's a comp for Mark Walton? And I was like, is Lamar Miller one? And I was like, I don't know, maybe.
That's what I thought you were saying. I thought you were saying, like, Mark Walton's going to be elite like Lamar Miller.
Well, I mean, he is. I guess we could just throw that out on the table right now.
There it is. Top five
no,
back?
he's going to be a polarizing back on this show, apparently. So we're going to have to somehow get him on the pod. So
I already
we can
don't
talk
like
about
Mark
it with
Walton.
Him in general. So, jeez. No, but Mark Walton. So, Mark Walton, the actual Miami running back that I'm talking about, he's good, man. I don't think he's just a speed back. Like, I do think that he could do it all. And it sucks that he got an injury when he did, and it kind of sucks that he only has a very limited amount of time that we've been able to see him. But, I mean, I was having this conversation with somebody earlier this morning, like, if you're a running back, I know I get that it's a stacked class, but if you're a running back, how do you not look at, like, let's just say Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt, even Marlon Mack, and just go, look, it doesn't matter when I get drafted, because as long as I am who I am and I know that I'm good enough, then I can get drafted in the fourth round and, one, be actually making money for my talents, and, two, getting the right coaching, already getting in the NFL, and if I'm getting hit, I might as well be advancing my career for it. Mm-hmm. You know, in college football, I don't mean for this to be too insulting, but you're playing for fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you have already established yourself as a guy who could possibly make it to the NFL, every snap that you take from then on out, you're basically playing for fun. Sure, you can improve your draft stock when you play at different positions, especially, like, you know, if you're talking about a quarterback, maybe a safety. You know, where experience, recognition, all that kinds of stuff is important. But, I mean, playing running back is kind of playing running back. I mean, so especially when you're playing a position where you are getting beat up all the time. If you can go. I don't really care about the class at this point.
Sure.
And like I said, you know, when you look at some of the guys who are producing, performing, and making roster spots as late-round draft picks, you got to say to yourself, I should just go. I'm going to have a chance to prove myself. And Mark Walton is one of those guys who I think is Mark Walton's going to get on an NFL roster, and he's going to be able to prove himself as a – I don't think he'll be a starting running back right away, but sure. I think he'll be a fun guy that'll be in the mix down in the depth chart that's going to be on an active roster.
Yeah, I think you're totally right, and you bring up a good point about players and running backs, because I think – look at Mark Walton. He's produced. He's put it on tape. You know, last year, 209 carries, over 1,000 yards, over 1,100 yards, averaged 5.3 yards per carry, scored 14 times. He has 56 catches in his career for 624 yards, two touchdowns. He's a guy that's proven it as a receiver. He's proven he can be an every down presence. This year, before he got hurt, 56 carries, 428 yards. He was averaging almost 8 yards a carry, and he'd scored three times. So he's produced. He's put it out there on tape. It's not like there's nothing there, and he's just this raw, unknown talent that couldn't stay healthy or anything like that. He's put it out there on tape, even though he's never gotten he only has 395 college carries, but there's enough there that you can see the type of talent he can be. I mean, he scored 26 times already in his career. So he's been an impact player with the touches that he's received so far. I don't think I'd be worried about his production, but at the same time, you're happy he hasn't taken a beating. And you're right. If you're a running back going to the NFL draft, there are a couple of you that may go high, but really you can be a really good running back and be taken sometime on day two, because that's just where the NFL seems to value him right now. We see it every single year. And so it isn't like other positions where, oh, if you go back, you could potentially be a top 10 pick. Like, Mark Walton's probably never going to be a top 10 pick, but he's probably going to, whatever range he goes in, is probably going to be the same even if he went back, and he's probably, he's still going to have a chance to be a good NFL running back. So I completely agree with you. I think it's a great point about running backs and why those positions that maybe aren't as valued as much, those guys may be best served with just coming out when they're healthy, coming out when, you know, Walton's going to be healthy. He's going to be able to test. He already had a season-ending injury, but I think the reports are that his ankle should be good. He should be good to go through some drills and stuff. So I think it's a smart decision for him.
Yeah.
I don't see a guy that could significantly increase his stock if he went back next year. You know, get to the NFL, and get paid.
And that's why I was so shocked, you know, when Nick Chubb said that he was going to go back to Georgia, you know, or Sonny Michel, like both of those guys were going to go back. Yeah. Obviously, they have had phenomenal years, and it's been, you know, it's probably been a lot of fun for them just as much as anything else going back and getting to play for Georgia and having a lot of success this year, mm-hmm. you know, getting all the way up to the number one in the country. So, I mean, that in that sense, you know, getting to play another year of college ball, having fun like that, it's great. But, man, you really do not have to put that much on tape if you're a running back. And I think that this year – well, when I say this year, I meant last year's draft class, the 2017 draft class. And then this coming year that we're going to see, this 2018 class, I think it's just only going to fortify running backs being like, hey, I'm 3 years and I'm out. Like, I'm getting out of here because it just doesn't matter. You can get to the league sooner. You could be younger. You could have less mileage on you.
Yep.
And you know, give your chance the best to have a more lucrative career. So.
And I think that Georgia situation was really unique. I felt like those guys kind of, because remember, it was like Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter and all those guys kind of, it sounded like they made their decision together. I think they all announced like together that they were all coming
back.
Which
is cool. Which is really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I love it. I love it as a fan of the game. It's awesome. I love to see that happen in college football. It means they're playing for something. They're playing for pride. And I guess, you know, it shouldn't be that surprising how well and how focused Georgia has been all year. When you look at it like that, but from a business decision, which is a lot of what the NFL draft is, you could argue that it was dumb, kind of maybe all the way around. Who knows?
Yeah. I could get behind both schools of thinking for sure, because you do like to see it as a college football fan, but at the same time, you're like, well, individually for you, especially for Chubb, I was definitely surprised Chubb went back, but he's had a good year and he stayed healthy so far, so hopefully that continues. Okay, we've got two new NFL teams. If you have just started following the podcast for whatever reason, check us out iTunes over at panoply.com. We're on Megaphone as well, so make sure you guys check all that stuff out. There's some really good stuff. We talk NFL draft prospects year-round, but we also revisit and look at how the rookies are performing in the NFL. We don't just move on from our evaluations without going back to them. We'll have periods of time where we go back and we review and we look at what we said and we move forward from there, and we talk about what we learned from certain prospects. And yes, we will take our L's on this show, believe it or not. We will. There's not many of them to take, but when they're there to take, we will take them. But we also we're examining the draft from a wide perspective. So I think that's one of the cool things about the podcast. And if you're new to the show, one of the new things that we've been doing, we've been talking about NFL teams that their seasons are over, basically, at this point. Not
we're having
literally,
funerals. We're having
exactly.
funerals.
We're that's what we're it is. We're the funeral hosters, and we're the undertakers. We're burying these dudes, and we're just saying, what do they have to look forward to? How can they kind of rebuild from this point? So Miami, Denver, obviously is a rebuilding process that needs to happen to some degree in both of these places. It may sound weird because Miami just made the playoffs. They have some talent, but at the same time, this is a team that probably, I mean, in the AFC, they're like, this is a bad football team. This might be the worst team in the NFL right now. 4-7, they've lost their last five, four of those by double digits. They're getting smoked every single week. There's issues all over the field for Miami. They just jettisoned off Jay Ajayi. Running back has to be a top. I mean, Damian Williams is their top back. I don't even think Damian Williams is a good backup. And I think there's good backups all over the league at running back. Dolphins don't even have one there. You know, Tannehill's situation, he'll be back. So I guess that they would probably stand pat at quarterback. They have good receivers. The offensive line needs help. They need help with the guard spots. There's no question about it. I think Juwan James is going to be a free agent, if I remember correctly. This is a team that has offensive needs, and they also have significant defensive needs. So it becomes a real test of, as you look at this Dolphins roster, Trev, what do you see as the biggest need for a team that has really quite a few as they go into the offseason?
The Dolphins are really odd to me, because you can go around their roster and, you know, in the NFL, they're just, you know, in the salary cap area, you're not going to have studs everywhere. So, like, some of the names and some of the areas where they have these guys. I think the receiving core is fine. I like the running back group when Jay Ajayi was there. I don't think Julius Thomas is good as a tight end, but I mean, that's, you know, tight end's a luxury position. Right. The offensive line, I thought that they had some good names, but they've obviously haven't been able to gel. The defensive line, you know, you got Sue, you got Cam Wake. The linebackers, I mean, they're not ideal, but I mean, they got Kiko Alonso, they got Timmons. I mean, those are guys who, you know, don't know how to make plays, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they still have Rashad Jones as safety. So again, like, when I think about this Dolphins roster, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, I get. I mean, like, this is kind of like a 7-9 to 9-7 team that might make the playoffs, but
right
here and there, and that's okay. But man, they are playing nowhere near that
right
now. And I think Adam Gase talked about that earlier in the year. Obviously, when they traded Jay Ajayi, he was saying the people that don't want to be here, I'm just going to get rid of them, and
right,
they immediately got rid of Ajayi. They cut Byron Maxwell, who I don't think was doing well anyways.
Right.
Well, so
think about this, though.
You're thinking they're going to get their quarterback back next year. So,
sure,
like,
sure. Yeah, you would think.
Is it just an attitude thing with this team? Because they shouldn't be this bad.
They shouldn't be this bad. I think you're right. But looking forward, I'm not sure the outlook is like necessarily brighter. I mean, for whatever reason, watch Laremy Tunsil play right now. Everybody agreed coming out of college, this was a highly talented football player who had the chance to be a really, really good one. You know, with some NFL coaching, obviously some adjustment here and there. I thought his body needed a little bit of work. It's hard for me to watch this guy and say this is a guy putting in everything to the position. It just looks like body language is frustration right now, and like things aren't coming together. And it's not just Tunsil either. You saw it with Jay Ajayi when he was here. And it seems like there are some cultural issues with Miami that may need to be addressed at some point. You've seen it with Julius Thomas, but you've also seen it with him throughout his career. You've seen frustration with a lot of these players, and maybe they just have too much of the wrong kind of player right now here, and that's why Gase is getting rid of some of these guys right now. But, man, if your first-round left tackle pick isn't developing well, and your first-round center pick from 2011 can't stay healthy in Mike Pouncey, you have two bad guards in Jermon Bushrod and Ted Larson. You need help there. I was wrong about Juwan James. He's not a free agent until 2019. So you have him around for another year. He has developed. He was the pick that was most highly criticized, and he's developed into one of their best first-round picks.
Right,
Devontae Parker, a first-round pick who I was admittedly really high on, just hasn't really come along the way that you hoped he would. I mean, he's been a good receiver, but, you know, if Jarvis Landry walks in free agency next year, and it looks like he will at this point, Leonte Carew hasn't come along. Jakeem Grant hasn't come along. Devontae Parker hasn't come along. Kenny Stills is a good vertical threat. He's a good player. But receiver almost becomes a need at that point. And
yeah,
then you have offensive line needs. And going into the year, who are the Dolphins' best two offensive players? Jarvis Landry and Jay Ajayi, with Devontae Parker having a ton of hope for a breakout year. Parker didn't have a breakout year. It's not all his fault, but he didn't have a breakout year. Jarvis Landry is probably gone after this year based on everything we've heard so far and everything that it seems to be indicating, his tweets and things like that. Ajayi is already gone, and suddenly this is a group that's fairly depleted of talent by this time next year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so then, it gets – Devontae Parker, man, you know, I was in Miami a couple weeks ago for that Tampa Bay-Miami game, and, I the dude just lets the ball, like, go off his hands.
He's Brandon Lloyd.
It's almost, dude, it's like there's no focus with Devontae Parker.
He's Brandon Lloyd. I'm telling you, he's Brandon Lloyd.
Guess.
Remember Brandon Lloyd? He made, like, he would make these jaw-dropping catches, and you would just be like, this guy's a freak. Like, he's amazing in the air. He can high point. He wasn't bothered by contact, but like consistency, route running, releases, like he would get jammed up by, it was just hit or miss, and he would flash in a great year here and there. But man, Parker just reminds me so much of Brandon Lloyd. I think he has unbelievable ability. But it hasn't been recognized, that, you know, and his evaluation was something that I nailed. I just hope that he could fix the little parts of his game that he just hasn't fixed at this point. And there's been open criticism of Parker's effort and Parker's desire on the field. So this runs deep, man.
I mean, you look at there's too much talent on their defense to get torched the way that they did against Ryan Fitzpatrick for most of that contest,
too.
Oh, my
goodness.
You know, like, it's – and so, like, at that point, what are you doing? What are you doing in the draft? Because they're going to have to go into 2018 with a draft strategy. You can't you're not going to see enough improvement if you don't really devote yourself to almost one side of the ball and making sure that it's better. If you're the Dolphins, you're going into the 2018 draft. What are you focusing on those first three picks that you have? Is it going to be offense or defense?
Well, I think one of the good things that they did, and they haven't done much well in the way of drafting, even if you look, Xavien Howard, second round pick, really, really struggled this year. They went out, they paid Kiko Alonso. He's been one of the worst linebackers in the league this year. So Jordan Phillips, a defensive tackle, has been totally inconsistent, a second round pick. Their flashes has not developed the way you hope he would. So they have not hit on many picks, but I really do think Charles Harris is going to be a good player for them. So if Cameron Wake sticks around,
I think
Harris will be a good pass rusher for them. If Wake sticks around, Harris develops. Sue obviously in the house as well. They've still got a good kind of front to build around that can rush the passer, get after people a little bit. Andre Branch on the inside maybe. So all is not lost on that front. I don't know that they can afford to go linebacker just because of what they've invested with Alonzo, and you know now you have Timmons there, and they brought over Stephon Anthony, and they're hoping he can give them something potentially as a starter next year. But the secondary, you do think Cordray Tankersley, he looked pretty good for a third rounder. Rashad Jones is a piece they'll obviously keep, but other than that, you know they need another corner, and if it can't be Xavien Howard. You know, it's not going to be Bobby McCain. We know that at this point in his career. They brought over Altron Werner. You know, he's getting to you know Werner pretty well, right?
Yeah. He's definitely in the later portions of his career.
And I know he's only 28, but the wheels came off quickly, I thought. So corner is definitely a need. Other than that, I'm not sure, you know, how much are they going to touch the defensive side of the ball unless they were to trade or lose one of those guys. I really think a lot of the attention has to be on the offense and maybe not at tackle necessarily because I think you're going to give Tunsil more time. And he hasn't been horrible. He just hasn't been anywhere close to what they drafted. I think guard becomes a huge need. I don't know exactly where Miami will be picking, but I feel like Quentin Nelson is a tone setter. He is a difference maker player.
So let's do this real quick. What is a dream top three picks for the Dolphins? Let's say Quentin Nelson, will be their first round pick.
I think if Quentin Nelson's their first round pick,
Who do you think's gonna be around there in the second round that might be either a running back, wide receiver, or corner that might be the best value there? Because I'll say, Jair Alexander is gonna go first round. You think, right?
Yes, and I think the Dolphins typically like bigger, longer corners. Okay, Tankersley, so, Xavien Howard, Maxwell, that was their type. That's their type right now. So I think that a guy like Adonis Alexander could be an option second round. Ideally, I think what you'd like to do, if you take Quentin Nelson first round and you're Miami, and I think they'll have a shot at him.
What if they go Quentin Nelson, Adonis Alexander, Sony Michel?
We're literally thinking of the same running back and the same. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the ideal situation if you're Miami. You take a tone setter and a difference maker on your offensive front. I just don't think they're going to draft a tackle right now. You know, I think they're going to keep Tunsil and James there and keep Pouncey at center. You need a guard desperately. I know it's high for Nelson, I know it's high for a guard, but Nelson's a special one. He's a difference maker type of player, and that's what you need up front. You take somebody like that, then I think ideally you would love to find a back in the third round that can play a decent amount of snaps. I don't know whether Michelle will be their third round. That's my thing. Walton could be an option.
Mark Walton, yeah.
Honestly, could be. Miami. There's going to be options at running back day two. You can't take one day one. You have too many holes if you're Miami. I know it's tempting. I just don't think you can do it. And Geis might be on the board for him. I love Geis. I just don't think from a team-building perspective it's necessarily the right thing to do. Fix yourself in the trenches. You have to be a tougher football team next year. You have to be. You cannot be this bad body language, this kind of soft waiting for the next bad thing to happen team next year. You can't do it. So I think fixing themselves in the offensive trench is going to be huge. Getting right so that when Tannehill's in there, he can be comfortable. And then, you know, finding a guy that can carry the ball. And maybe that comes in free agency too with a running back or something. We'll see. So they've got some options. But it is going to be a big offseason for Miami and a big offseason for Adam Gase because he set the bar high. Early on, you know, we're making playoffs, and that's something you got to keep up. So how about the Denver Broncos?
Well, they already got their quarterback of the future on the roster. So You know, when Chad Kelly eventually takes over, then they can really start making some progress.
That's true. Chad Kelly will probably be around to compete. Osweiler won't be. Don't know if Simeon will be. And then I really don't think Denver's going to draft a quarterback. I think they're going to find one.
I don't know a lot about Denver because I don't get to watch a lot of their games. They have a lot of talented pieces still. Like, what is wrong? Is it truly... Just the quarterback?
I don't know if just is the best. It's never just, but it's a huge part of it. It's the quarterback. Huge part of it.
Okay.
They also don't run the ball particularly well, but they have a really good bright end center. Yes, that's a good question. They have a horrible right tackle. They're, like, really bad at right tackle. They have Garrett Bowles is still developing at left tackle, so I think that things will get better there on the edges, but that's a big part of it. Garcia at left guard, they can definitely upgrade that. I think it's another team. Nelson could be on their radar. Paradis and Leary are a good combination.
I don't think Nelson could be on a radar for Denver.
Why?
If we're going to play that game, you know what I'm saying? Like, literally almost every team in the NFL could just quit Nelson. But, like, I'm just thinking that from a realistic standpoint, I can't see John Elway taking a guard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, so, like, that's my thing, is that, like, we could literally almost plug Quentin Nelson in for every NFL team as a need because he's that good. An interior guard play is at that kind of level is kind of a rarity. But I just don't see Elway taking a guard that high. So,
I think,
like,
it depends what they do in free agency. Because
maybe so. Yeah, sure.
If this team goes out and gets Eli Manning or goes out and gets Kirk Cousins, you know, then it becomes time to, okay, how can we run the ball well enough to supplement these guys? We got to get tougher up front because they have the weapons. I mean, there's no issue with the weapons. Even Cody Latimer's played okay this season. They have Isaiah McKenzie. Benny Fowler stepped up. You have Demaryius Thomas. You have Emmanuel Sanders. Remember Carlos Henderson? He was one of my top wide receivers. I think he's a beast.
Right.
You know, all those guys are back, you know, except for Latimer, and that's fine. And Henderson's been on injured reserve the entire season. You haven't even gotten to see what he can do yet. And he was, a third-round pick for them. So, everything's there on offense except for fortifying the offensive line. I think C.J. Anderson, whoever's a running back, you know, I've liked C.J. Anderson for years. Maybe you draft a guy in the middle late rounds to compliment him. But I think they have capable backs and everything. I think that finding offensive linemen to really fortify that part of your unit is the key for this team because then look at the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they have the guys. They have Brandon Marshall and Shane Ray and Von Miller. And, you know, the run defense has been the most surprising unit of the team so far this season, and they obviously have pieces in the secondary. Maybe you're looking for another corner because Brandon Langley's been bad, but you know, with Talib and Roby and Harris and Talib getting up there in years, maybe. But again, there just aren't. I think Denver can honestly go right back to competing if they get a quarterback and they strengthen the offensive line.
So let's say. All right, so let's do another ideal three, because in my head, you're just listening to you say that. Mm-hmm. An ideal three at this point for Denver to me would be Baker Mayfield, round one.
If they don't get a quarterback in free agency, yes. But I think they will. I think Elway's wheeling and dealing to get a quarterback in free agency or trade.
I'll say Orlando Brown, round two, if he's there.
Okay. A little right tackle action. Yes, they need that badly.
And then round three, let's go Duke Dawson.
I wouldn't be surprised if McGlinchey's the guy. Can you imagine McGlinchey and Bowles, just two physical grinders at tackles? I think you'd be able to run the ball well eventually. I really do. There's some options here. I could see them going.
That would be my three.
They have to get tougher on the offensive line. I know this class isn't deep there, and I know we said that about Miami too, but I think they've got to get better there. Have to be able to run the football next year. Yeah, I'll say I think they address quarterback in free agency, which I think or via trade, which I think frees them up to pick an offensive lineman early. I wouldn't be surprised if they go offensive line with their first two picks, to be honest. Strengthen up that unit. The other consideration, maybe second or third round, is running back, and you know, maybe you're looking for another defensive lineman. I mean, this isn't a team with a lot of free agents either. You know, Virgil Green is their top tight end, but there's nothing there to worry about in terms of losing. They really don't lose any. You know, Donald Stevenson's been bad at tackle. They don't lose any key pieces at all via free agency, so there's really no concern there. In fact, Todd Davis, the linebacker, may be the only guy this team's even interested in bringing back. via free agency. So the roster basically returns. You get a fully healthy Shane Ray, Shaq Barrett, Von Miller as your trio of pass rushers with a pretty good secondary. Justin Simmons has developed well. I don't know that there's a ton of needs. As long as things stand pat, I would say that you're probably looking at offensive linemen with two of your first three picks. And the way their roster currently sits, that's what I would be thinking.
All right. There you go.
I don't know. It's interesting. Denver could be right back in the mix now that I think about it. Because I really think it is. Like, it's like 90% quarterback play, dude. And we still, now Paxton Lynch is hurt again, and we still might not see him again before the end of the year. So we're still going to be relatively uncertain. I think he'll have played four games. I mean, he's been bad in those four games. Don't get me wrong. But I still think if you're Denver, you invested a first-round pick in the guy, you would love a larger sample size, which is why I think they won't draft somebody, but they will sign somebody. Because I think they're going to want to see what Paxton eventually kind of offers. Hey, here's one of the cool things that we are doing, guys, that I think that you guys can join Trevor and I on, and we can have a lot of fun with. Fantasy football fans, it's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 13. The best part, play for cold, hard cash, and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL, and it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On NFL Draft listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LONFL. Trev and I will have a league. We have a league this past Sunday. We'll have a league up again this upcoming Sunday. Trev, we didn't fare too well in the last one.
Yeah.
I think I was fifth and you were last.
Dude, like y'all took my money this week, man. Like it was not good for your boy, but we'll come back this week. We'll come back. Don't worry about it.
The draft actually starts whenever the league is full. So whenever everybody joins, we draft, but if you're not on, it kind of just auto fills your team, and it usually does pretty well. I feel like, you know, you get, I think, two running backs, maybe two wide receivers or a wide receiver and a tight end or something like that, and a quarterback, and that's it. It's done. So it doesn't take up a lot of your time at all. It was a ton of fun because, it doesn't take a big amount of effort, and you're not investing. I mean, you know, with the promo code, you put your first deposit in, and you get to play for free, and you can take it out anytime you want. And like you said, they give you a money-back guarantee if you don't love it, up to $100. So I think it's a really kind of cool side. I had not known about it, but we've been playing it and really liked it. And you guys can join us this Sunday when we'll kick up our league Sunday morning. I'll tweet it out. If you follow me on Twitter, at Ledyard NFL Draft, follow me on there. Travel retweeted as well. And we'll kind of open up the league for people to join. And last week, we had six people jump in with Trevor and I and had a nice little draft. And even though Trevor and I got whooped, it was a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys can join us again. Again, that promo code is LONFL for that, and I'll tweet that out as well. So, Trev, we buried Miami. We buried Denver. We talked about how Mark Walton is going to have a place in the NFL, and it's going to be a good one, I think, even if it ends up being in the mid rounds and a good future there. And tomorrow we've still got to talk about offensive rookie, defensive rookie of the year races, which have now heated up and changed hands. And it's been a fascinating year for conversations and dialogue in both of those categories. And we've got to talk about the bowl games, the conference championship games, because we got some big ones coming up. So we've still got a ton of good content for you. Try and cram it in throughout the week. And we also, of course, will do the MyBookie Pick'ems on Friday for you guys as well for the NFL games. Have a little fun as we always do. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.